Our first reading comes from Psalm number 19.
Going to read from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God.
The skies proclaim the work of his hands.
Day after day, they pour forth speech.
Night after night, they reveal knowledge.
They have no speech, they use no words.
No sound is heard from them.
Yet their voice goes out into all the earth.
Their words to the ends of the world.
The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul.
Making wise the simple.
The guidelines of the Lord are right.
Giving joy to the heart.
The wisdoms of the Lord are radiant.
Giving light to the eyes.
The wisdoms are more precious than gold.
Than much pure gold.
They are sweeter than honey.
Than honey from the honeycomb.
May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight.
For you, Lord, are my rock and my redeemer.
The second reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 4, from 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Pray for guidance. Pray for opening our ears. Oh God, may you guide me and bless the words of my mouth and the meditations on my heart. We pray through our teacher, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. So, we need the first slide, I think. And I'm guided totally by the slides. What I want to do is take a look at Luke's gospel and the proclaimed stated goals of Jesus of Nazareth. There are five of them. We just heard them read, and I'm going to focus on those, and I'm going to focus on how I saw them as living witnesses, a living word at the Mully Children's Family. And so that's my hope in this, our service today. This is where we are. This is Kenya. It's on the east coast of Africa, on the Indian Ocean. Tanzania is to the south, and that's where there are two campuses of the Mully Children's Family. The Mully Children's Family sites that I have visited are Yatta and Delani, which are about 200 kilometers to the east on the road to Somalia from Nairobi. So that gives you an idea. I always find it helps if you know where we're at. And that's where we're at. Well, or in Newfoundland, we would say World War II. So that's World War II. So what I want to do with that is a bit of an introduction. I'll talk a little bit about the profound faith basis of Charles Mully and the Mully Children's Family. You'll be exposed to the mission and the vision statements of the program. And then I'm going to talk about how they proclaim the good news to the poor, how they proclaim freedom to the prisoners, how they proclaim recovery of sight for the blind, and how they set the oppressed free, and how they are constantly proclaiming the year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee, the forgiveness of all debt, of all sin. So this is my friend, Dr. Charles Mully. The video was a little broken up, which was a bit too bad, but you got a bit of a sense of the gentleness of this man. You've heard his story from a six-year-old abandoned boy to the chief executive officer and the founder of the Mully Children's Family. Charles is an ordinary man who has done extraordinary things. He would be the first to say, I have done nothing. God has guided me in every step of my life and every step of the lives of the children that I have adopted, all 26,000 of them. When I first saw Charles, there was a group of people putting mangoes in a big basket, because the mangoes are going into baskets that could be carried out to the school in the square, which is just outside this dining room. The dining room's outside, of course. And and I thought he was one of the gardeners. And he said, no, he says, I'm Charles Mully. Well, I nearly fell over. And he gave me his standard greeting, which is sort of a signature greeting. And it goes this way. It says, it means peace in Swahili. And the word is, oye. He would go into the slums and reach under cardboard and tin roofs and reach out and say, oye. And the response of everybody has always been the same. It's, oye. You want to practice that? So, oye. 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 There you go. You're now children of Mully Children's Family. His wife, God bless her. I never thought I would, next slide. I never thought I would call another person my mother. But she indeed is a mother. I come down in the morning and I wait on the porch waiting for Charles and Esther to come by. And she would usually arrive first, big smile. And the first thing she would say is, welcome, Karibu, welcome. And Reverend George, have you washed your hands yet? Can I get you something? Would you like a mango smoothie? Well, yes, I would, Mother Mully. So she has been a companion and a supporter of Mully Children's Family from the get-go. It was not easy. The first 10 years were brutal. And in the movie, and you can see the movie, there's an insert inside your bulletins that gives you further information, but there's a movie. And you'll see a scene in which the new kids coming into the home in the early days were jumping out of closets, were chasing chickens around, looking after the goats, screaming, bouncing on the beds. One boy, who you'll see his picture, he said, I arrived there. The first thing I did was break one of the children's bicycles. And I thought, I'm done. I'm out of here. And Mother Mully says, oh, David, it's just a bicycle. We'll get another bicycle. Come and have something to eat. You want a mango smoothie? Mother Mully. This is the home they came to from. They moved from Eldoret, or Delany, about a 300-kilometer voyage, because he had a bit of land there. And one of the problems he had in Eldoret, it was too close to town, and the children would run back to the slums and sniff glue and other things at night and then come to school the next day and fall asleep. And he said, well, why are you falling asleep? Well, we're going back to the slums at night. So he said, well, how do I fix that? So he had a bit of land in this area, which nothing good comes from the east, as they say in Kenya. And it's in the east, and it's dry. It's bone dry. It's semi-arid. Those trees were not there. Charles planted them while I'm there. Charles planted 5 million trees in Yatta and Delany in order to improve the climate so he could grow food. 5 million trees. He's continued to have a tree planting a business and promoting environmental change. And McGill University gave him a PhD because of that work. And he has planted a total of 20 million trees in Kenya. So he moved into that little hut. There's no glass in those windows. The reason for that is that he didn't want to be isolated from the square because he would hear the boys. And in the middle of the night, if they were up to something, and he would go out and he would say, "Oye, why aren't you sleeping? Are you tired? Are you okay?" And look after them. They thought he had eyes in the back of his head. Next slide. Their identity is very, very clear. He's made it absolutely clear. We are a Christian-based organization. We follow Jesus of Nazareth. We follow the values and the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth. We empower people to become all that they can become. I don't ask them to become something they're not supposed to be. I ask them and teach them and transform them from the traumatized children into a grown adult capable of making a good, dignified livelihood and being all that they have been created to become by God. Believes in deep, deep, healthy family values. The family is active and doing things all the time. The talents, the education, the fun, the laughter, the music, and the sports are wholesome and healthy and spiritually, psychologically, and physically. He believes that he is accountable for everything he does. 100% of everything that happens to me, says Charles, is I'm accountable for. He is a deep believer in integrity. Commissioned by Jesus, called by Jesus, heard by Jesus, and he believes in this transformation process. This is the identity, the stated identity of Mully Children's Family. Next slide. This is their mission, and I love this mission statement. It's to follow Jesus Christ in the transformation of lives of children. Well, these are found, these identity and mission and vision statements are found all over the school, every classroom. But they're not, like the company vision statement, their mission statement stuck on the wall, no one ever reads it. They read that every day, and they practice. They ask, how did you fulfill this mission statement today? They ask that question all the time. Following Jesus Christ means he follows the teachings of Jesus Christ to transform. He doesn't follow Jesus Christ to turn people into Christians or followers of Jesus. He follows Jesus himself, knowing that God will call these people to become all that God wants them to become. He does not force people or expect people to follow Jesus. He follows Jesus, and it's a role model. Next slide, please. All right, this is where we get into proclaiming the good news to the poor. Now, what's the good news to the poor? The good news to the poor is that life is not going to be this difficult forever. Life is not going to be this difficult forever. There is a change. There will be heaven found on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It will come. You'll have to wait for it. You'll have to work for it. You'll have to be part of it. But it will come. And so this is the good news to the poor that he preaches all the time. Next slide, please. This is the poor. You saw this slide earlier. That young man in red, it looks like he's sucking down a bottle of water. It's not. He's sniffing glue. When I was there, they would ask me questions about Canada and about my visit, and I was there with a suitcase full of clothing and other gifts for these children, and you could smell the glue. And one of the things that happens is life is so difficult, and they're so hungry, and they're so sick that they have to escape. And the escape is done through drugs and alcohol. These are the slums from which the children that you saw singing come from. Next slide. These are the youngest. I guess they're not the youngest. They're 6, 7, and 8 year old. Every evening, we would have prayers or talent night or story time or Bible study 5 nights a week with this age bracket. You can see from the contrast to the other slide how full of joy they are and how happy they are and how they're full of life and full of hope and optimism. One of the things that would happen then when they got to know me is they'd see me coming and they would rush up and they'd make a circle around me and they all start to hug me. Well, I couldn't move because if I moved, I'd fall over. And that was the kind of appreciation they had of people coming to care for them, proclaiming good news to the poor. Next slide, please. This is the central project of MCF Delaney. One of the things that they asked me to do when I first got there, and I nearly fell over in horror, but they said, you have a job to do. Your job is to bring words of encouragement to all these groups. And I had to come up with 21 words of encouragement, all different, which I delivered in about 10 days, and I had about a day to prepare for that. You can tell it's me because, I'm the only guy with shorts on. They don't wear shorts in Africa. What you're looking at is the high school. The high school is about 500 students, and their project, the main project, is to see these children, youth, and marginalized members lead dignified livelihood so that when they leave as carpenters or construction workers or doctors or lawyers or social workers or preachers or teachers or seamstress or hairdressers. They leave with skills that are marketable to make a living, and they change Kenya. Next slide, please. Freedom from the prisoners. There are many, many prisons in Kenya, all kinds of prisons of poverty, of HIV and AIDS, abandonment, misogyny, brutality, violence, and they are prisoners of these. And this is where I saw in MCF how they were liberated, their freedom for these prisons. Next slide, please. This is the Mully Method, and the slide over on the left that you see is Penelope. Penelope is living in one of the worst rural houses that exists. It's just pieces of wood with the clothing, a green door that's wooden. Behind the green door, you can't see it very well, but you look really carefully, you might see her youngest. Underneath the purple curtain, you'll see that the chickens live with her. The reason the chicken lives with her is that if it was outside during the night, it would be stolen. So the chicken lives in the same bedroom, kitchen, and room. She's lame. She can't work very much. Her husband is off somewhere trying to make money with her older son. Her second born is a daughter who is a child at Mully Children's Family, and she was asking us to take this daughter to Mully Children's Family because she could not care for the child the way she wanted. Rehabilitation, this is a worship service in the evening. Every night they sing. I would wake up in the morning and I would hear hundreds of young voices singing Christian hymns. I would go to bed at night and I would hear hundreds of young voices singing Christian hymns. And the chapel was not very far from my quarters. And so that's the rehabilitation process. And then the reintegration, this is David. David was a rescue in Eldoret, was one of the first boys to come to Delaney. He was telling me a story, and then Dr. Mully came over and sat down, and they looked at each other. And David's 30 at this time. He's a social worker, works with the government of Kenya, and to advise new NGOs, non-government organizations, on how to assist the poverties of Kenya, especially children. So that's what David does with his life. David was a drug addict, and he told me the story that he'd run away. And Charles Mully would go and find him. And Charles would say, "Oye." That's it. "Oye." And he would, and David would look and be astounded. And Charles would say, "How are you today? Are you fed?" "Well, no." Your clothing looks like it's all rotting. Are you ready to come home? They won't love you here. They won't love you here on the streets. They'll use you up and spit you out. But I'll love you. Mully Children's Family will love you and care for you and clothe you. Would you like to come home? David, please come home with me." Charles Mully did that for David 5 times. David is reintegrated into the Mully children, into Kenya, as a man with a livelihood, dignified livelihood. Next slide, please. This is Juliet. Juliet is an amazing woman of 20. She's rescued at the age of 16. Now, she had babies when she had first baby when she was 13, a product of rape and incest. And then she had another baby when she was 15. So she had 2 babies. And she's rescued with the babies to Mully Children's Family. And here she is 4 years later, and she has become a master carpenter. And her joy, her directness, her connection with people was clear, honest. Her articulation was very, very moving. And her life would fill the room with joy. This is Juliet. She's one of 5 mothers that are living at that time that were living at Mully Children's Family. And I think there's another slide, and I'll explain what he does with teenage mothers, because it's remarkable what that is. Next slide, please. Stephen. Parents die of AIDS at the age of 12. He's looking after his 2 brothers. He's rescued 4 years later at 16. He's now 18. He proved to be a physics genius. This is when he's in his last year of high school. He said, I would ask questions like, "Well, how long did it take you, and what did you discover about MCF after you came?" Now, this is an older kid who's been traumatized, lived on the streets. And I thought, well, this would be an interesting story, because this is a hardened criminal. This is a hardened young man. And I asked him. He said, "Well, it took me 6 months, but I found out that I am now lovable. I am a loved child of God." So that was his intent. Physics genius seeking a career in medicine. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. My name is George Zimmerman. And I know that you're from Kenya, yes? And you are a member of parliament of the Kenyan Assembly, is that correct? No. Jane, would you introduce him? Thank you, John. I met you in Kenya. I know where you live. You live around the corner from Jane's rental house. And you fed me tea. I'm glad you're here. All right, so that's Stephen. Next slide, please. This is Ruth. Ruth's story is astounding. Her mother is abandoned with three children. A mother goes out and trades sex for food for her children and education. Ruth is left with grandpa, her her mother's father, and she's assaulted by this grandfather. Mother turns him in, which takes an enormous amount of courage in Africa. It would be unbelievable courage for her to have done that. Grandfather goes to jail. She's rescued with her siblings, and she immediately discovered that MCF was like a guardian angel that filled her with food and safety and dry, clean clothes, education and bedding. And she's warm, intelligent, a leader in music, a leader in praise, a leader in drama. She wants to be a lawyer. She says, I do not want to see any other woman go through what my mother had to go through from a legal perspective. I told her she could be my lawyer anytime. Ruth, next slide, please. Recovery of sight for the blind. One of the things that the blind would say to Charles is that you're nuts. You can't do this. It can't be done. You cannot take these children off the streets and turn them into and transform them into productive citizens. It's not possible. I put this slide up because you're looking at the laundry that the 14-year-old boys do themselves, because they have to look after their own clothes. So they clean their own clothes and clean their own bedding. And I thought, what a great symbol of transformation from the street to a responsible young man of 14. And so the blind said it can't be done. And guess what? It's being done. Next slide, please. Same story about the trees. You cannot grow food in the east of Nairobi. It's too dry. It's impossible. Can't be done. The blind were saying it's not possible. Charles Mulley found ways to conserve water, and not just with trees, but different ways, in such a way that has become his farms, become one of the most productive farms, feeding, of all people, Belgium. And they love his beans. His French beans are sold by the plane load in Belgium. Can't be done. Next slide, please. So water conservation, you'll never get potable water out of that river, the River Theka, which is the one on the left. There's the pump house. He's pumped it up. It goes into a modern water treatment plant and then pumped into a tower. And he feeds 5,000, other than the schools, he feeds 5,000 community members fresh water, gives them education about the importance of that, reduced waterborne diseases by 60% in that community. Can't be done. Next slide. He built greenhouses, 17 acres of greenhouses, which collect water that rains and it gets conserved. The inside of the greenhouses are cooled by misters, and he produced from four crops a year, he went to eight crops a year by using these greenhouses. Can't be done. Next slide, please. How do you get children need to have omega-3, correct, in order for their brains to grow? Comes from fish. You can't afford the fish. It's too much money. So Charles, you'll never get these children, you know, they'll never grow properly because you can't feed them right. You can't feed them fish. Well, he said, well, it's cheaper for me to build my own fish ponds and harvest the fish every week than it is for me to buy the fish. So he built five fish ponds and harvests the ground fish, bottom feeders, and they're harvested once a week, and the children get fresh fish once a week. And it's on Friday. Next slide, please. To set the oppressed free, this is where, and one of the big oppressions is teenage pregnancy and teenage girls with babies. So he said, no woman will ever be penalized in my family because she becomes pregnant, ever. So he sets up a daycare center. This is a brand new daycare that was being built in 2022 when I was there, so that the children during the day get full daycare while the girls, their mothers, go to school. At night, they go back to quarters, which are designed for mother and children. No woman will ever be penalized because they become pregnant at Mully Children's Family to set the oppressed free. This, I was lucky to get this picture. I was so lucky. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The baby is a week old, brand new member of Mully Children's Family. The woman holding the baby is not the mother. The woman holding the baby is the mother's companion. So they pair up, they become family, become sisters. The mother's actually, you can hardly see her face, she's on the left. And so she delivered that baby about a week ago, and the two of them are raising that child in this home. Set the oppressed free. Next slide, please. Community hospital, I was losing too many babies and too many women. With pregnancy issues of all ages. There's no hospital. The nearest hospital to Mully Children's Family and Theka, the town of Theka, 2.5 hours away. So he says, time to build a hospital. Can't be done. So he's in the process of building this hospital, a 325-bed hospital, which will be a private institution. But if you don't have money and you arrive there, you will, of course, receive free health care, thanks to the generosity of Mully Children's Family. Next slide, please. And finally, to proclaim the year of the Jubilee. You don't have to live this way anymore. Your debts are forgiven. You can be free of your debts. That is the year of the Jubilee, the year of the Lord. And he declares that to the children. They have to believe that, because if they believe that their trauma and their experience, the reason they became pregnant at 13 from an incest or a rape, is their fault. They have to be free of that. You do not have to believe that. You do not have to live that way anymore. And so they teach that joyful statement to these children every day to proclaim the year of Jubilee. Next slide, please. Jeffrey turned down a scholarship. A brilliant guy. His story is really quite horrific. He arrived when he was 2, nearly dead. They didn't think he would live. His story is that his grandmother rescued him from his aunt, who was trying to murder him by shoving him down a pit latrine. And so it's a horrific story, just awful. And then he starts to laugh, and I said, Jeffrey, what are you laughing at? I mean, that was an awful story. And he says, well, he said, Reverend George, he said, the reason I'm laughing is this, is that my grandmother told me years later that one of the reasons that I did not die was my head was too big to go through the hole. So he's an early member of the family. He now teaches history and business. He turns down a scholarship for advanced education at a master's level. And I said, well, why? He says, because I want to be part of the family here and pay back for a while. He said, there will always be scholarships for me. That's Jeffrey. Next slide, please. And this is my last slide, and I hope it works. The joy and the exuberance and the hope and the optimism of these children who should either be dead or sex slaves or on drugs or in jail is infectious. And they are worshiping in the African way. You'll get a real feel for that because this is an opening hymn of a typical worship service that I attended. Let's hear the soundtrack.
Thank you.
that's about it. So that's the end of the sermon, and I'd like to say this. Let us, because we are the body of Christ, give credit to God the Creator, to God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit for these three wonderful gifts: the companionship of heaven, the power of creation, and the humility of gratitude. And we do this as is most appropriate as we pass it from our generation to the next. Amen.